Чорне море, гарне море, а все ядно Чорна гора, неня моя Чорна гора. Гей, 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 ніхто не зна, ніхто не зна, гей, гей, де сховалося місяце не зна, гей. Щоб почула моя киця, неня моя Чорна гора. Гей, 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 стріляй, моя рушениця, щоб почула молодиця, неня моя Чорна гора. Гей, 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 чекай, куме, чекай, куме, гей, гей, куренєма, куме, куренєма, куме, гей, гей. Маріто, маргаріто, ми з кумом два бандіта, за неї неня Чорна гора. Гей, 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 Тіто, Маріто, маргаріто, ми з кумом два бандіта, за неї неня Чорна гора. Гей, 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 чуєш, Іване, мій сине, гей, гей, з полонини пісняліне, гей, 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 я ніколи і нікому не віддам рідного дому, за неї неня Чорна гора. Гей, 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 я нікому і ніколи не віддам ці гори, коли знайде неня Чорна гора.
Starting out our program was Vasil Hontarsky from Ukraine with a song called Chorna Hora, Black Mountains. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачі «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. З вами Павліна Макварі, дякую, що рішила перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Paulette Demchuk-McCory, Pokrinska Pavlina, and I'm delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you coming up in this next hour. We have a book review as well. We've got Ukrainian Jewish Heritage and part one of an interview with Alan Bernstein, the president of the Felstein Society in New York, regarding upcoming events in April and some interesting connections to Ukraine. As well, we've got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is music put to the words of a well-known Ukrainian poet by the name of Oles Bernik. And this is Vichna Taina Kliche Nas, Eternal Mystery Calls Us. Вічна мила.
крила лебеді несуть у висоти чисті. Розривай завісу сну, ніби павутину, линьку неба глибину, в долю лебедину.
Дай, 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 дай
And from a vinyl recording made quite a few years ago, back in the 1980s, I believe, that was a group called Homin Stepil with the title track of that album, and that translates as Echo of the Steppes. Coming up next, another little blast from the past, also by an artist from south of the border. This is Alexei Kurekesha with Fata Morgana and a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Oy Upolinevka, In the Cornfield. Слухайте радіо передачу «Наш голос» радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Радіо Міжнародному, говорить Павліна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, brought to you by PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Павліна. Welcome to Knižka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, Ukrainian stories in English.
In this edition of Knižka Corner, we will be discussing Marsha Forchuk Skripuk's novel, Don't Tell the Enemy. Skripuk bases her novel on the real-life experiences of Katerina Sikorska and her daughters, Hrysta and Maria, who hid three Jewish friends in their home during the Holocaust. Hrysta is now a retiree who lives in Toronto. Skripuk started working on this project as nonfiction, but her research convinced her that the novel format was more appropriate. Skripuk changed some of the details to enhance the narrative. For example, in the novel, Hrysta is 12 years old. However, The real-life Chryshcha was only 8 years old in 1941, though her courageous actions were that of a mature individual. It is June 28, 1941, and the Soviet army is retreating from Chryshcha's village of Vytrech in Ukraine. The Soviet occupation has brought nothing but suffering for her family. After her father dies of cancer, Chryshcha's family relies heavily on her uncle. However, the Soviets mercilessly kill several members of her uncle's family as they retreat before the Nazis. At first, the Nazi occupiers seem to be an improvement on the Soviets. These soldiers brought us coffee and chocolate, far different from the 2 years of hunger, murder, and terror the Soviets had brought us. We were giddy with relief. The Germans are seen as liberators, even initially supporting Ukrainian independence. However, these positive feelings do not last. Farms, food, and livestock are confiscated in order to resettle displaced Germans. Was this the hunger plan? To take food away from us so that we died? Chryshcha's family is starving, but they are not too desperate to help her friend Dolik and his family, who have been forced to give up everything and live in the Jewish ghetto. They share what little food they have and secretly hide Dolik, Leon, and Mr. Siegel in a desperate effort to save their lives. Will any of them survive if the Nazis discover their secret? This powerful novel gives young readers a shocking picture of what it was like to live in Ukraine during World War II, under both Soviet and Nazi occupation. Chryshcha and her mother are resilient and courageous characters who defy the Nazis to help their Jewish friends. Their relatives are also involved in the Ukrainian insurgency. These bold actions were not for the faint of heart. If any of them were discovered, they could lose their lives. The strength of this novel lies in the details of life during World War II in Ukraine. Readers will be shocked by the brutality of the Soviets and the Nazis. The Soviets kill Chryshcha's uncle Roman, as well as her cousin Josip. The Nazis massacre countless Jews. Who is better? The Ukrainian nation was caught between two unimaginable alternatives in the Second World War: heartless Soviet rule or callous and cold-blooded Nazi rule. Despite this situation, Chryshcha's courage shines. Her family shows remarkable compassion despite the horrific consequences. Ukrainian determination to fight for freedom is highlighted by Chryshcha's cousin Boris. This country doesn't belong to Stalin, and it doesn't belong to Hitler. Even without our leaders, we'll do what we can to resist. Marcia Forchuk-Skripuk lives with her family in Brantford, Ontario. She has received numerous honors for her picture books and young adult novels. Skripuk's award-winning trilogy of novels about World War II includes Stolen Child, Making Bombs for Hitler, and Underground Soldier. Making Bombs for Hitler won the Silver Birch Award in 2012 and was on the 2014 shortlist for the Kobzar Literary Award. Skripuk's Underground Soldier was a finalist for the 2016 Kobzar Literary Award. Don't Tell the Enemy is a powerful, thought-provoking novel about both Soviet and Nazi occupations of Ukraine during the Second World War, which will live in readers' minds and hearts long after they have turned the final page. It is available at Chapters and Amazon.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Konishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. delightful Ukrainian folk dance called Orlitsya, and that is from a recording called Forgotten Songs of Ukrainians, and we acquired this probably about at least 10 years ago, maybe more. The recording was made in 2005, and it is a collection of, I guess, their original recordings, probably cleaned up quite a bit and enhanced, and they are from the 1920s and 30s. Not a whole lot of, even some a bit earlier, not a whole lot of information. I guess that's why the title, Forgotten Songs of Ukrainians, a lot forgotten, but fortunately those melodies and those recordings were preserved. And again, that dance was called Orlitsya. And bringing it back to Canada, this is a family orchestra from Alberta. They're called the Churchill Orchestra. They put out quite a few albums. They've been around a long, long time, and they have preserved that wonderful old-time sound. Here they are from their CD released in 2007, The Tradition Continues. And another Ukrainian folk dance, maybe not strictly Ukrainian, given the title, the Gypsy Chatis. And now for a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. Brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario. This is Pavlina, producer and host of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. The Felshtin Society is named after a Ukrainian shtetl called Felshtin, which today is the Ukrainian town of Havardiske. The Felshtin Society began as a benevolent society organized in 1905 in New York City, and it's still active today. One of the most notable of its ongoing humanitarian efforts over the past 113 years is the refuge and relief that the Society provided to the survivors of the 1919 pogrom in Felshtin. 600 Jews perished in that brutal pogrom. In April of 2019, the Felshtin Society will hold commemorative events to mark the centenary of this tragic historical event. Last March, we spoke with the president of the Felshtin Society, Alan Bernstein, who told us about the Society and its plans for these commemorative events. Recently, the Society announced some exciting new developments, which Alan has kindly agreed to share with Nash Holos listeners. We spoke by phone from his office in New York. So, Alan, welcome back to Nash Holos.
Thanks very much. I appreciate you having me back.
Well, it's great to have you, and this story is really fascinating to me, and I'm excited to hear about the new developments. But just to refresh our listeners' minds for those maybe who didn't catch the first interview, tell us a little bit about the Society and the history behind it that is bringing these commemorative events to the fore next year.
Well, the Felshtin Society was begun as what was called a Landsmannschaft organization that was founded originally in 1905,
right,
in New York, and was basically something that people pulled together in order to be able to, first of all, deal with the issues of burial that they had a hard time dealing with in New York at that time because there were no consecrated Jewish cemeteries.
Right.
Well, there were very few, and there needed to be more. So they got together, and these people bought a plot of land in Staten Island. Other groups bought land in Long Island or in Queens or in other some of the outlying areas. And that was one of the primary reasons for them to be together, was to have a burial society. And then there were other things as well. Of course, there was social, there was support. And then after the pogroms happened in 1919, they became much more of a benevolent society because they collected money for not only for the people who were displaced from their homes and lost everything, a tremendous number of orphans that were left after their parents were killed in the Ukraine, in Belarus, and in other parts of what was at one point the Russian Empire. After the Russian Revolution, there were just thousands of kids all over the place that needed to be housed and clothed and fed and educated. So there were orphanages that sprung up all over the place. And these Landsmannschaft organizations were very instrumental, not only in collecting money directly among their own members and sending the money back and making visits, but they also were instrumental in connecting with important Jewish organizations like HIAS and Jewish Defense Council and things like that, that were also very supportive of these efforts to make sure that the kids had a place to live and adequate clothing and food and education. So that's where it started. And then in the 30s, in the 20s and the 30s, they were more focused on social activities and developing support networks for people who were building businesses and who were interested in doing a variety of other things. And eventually, in the late 30s, came to the point where they decided that it would be a very important thing to write a book. So the Felshtin Society's main focus of existence at that point became the writing of the book.
Right.
From the early to the mid-30s, and it was published in 1937. And what happened was people decided that it was okay for each of them to contribute a chapter. So some people contributed more than one chapter, and some people contributed other things aside from the written word. But basically, they got together and they put this wonderful book together, which we understand from a number of scholars who look at this type of literature and who feel that our book, the Felshtin Yisker book, is what it's called, is a very strong model of the kind of literature that was produced in response to these events.
Right.
And then, of course, when the Holocaust came and the Germans invaded this part of the world, the rest of the Jews who were living in the town were slaughtered and buried in a mass grave in the town. So the society persisted pretty much on a very regular basis through the 70s. And then people began to die off, and the original members were no longer interested or no longer capable of participating. So things really died off until about the 90s, when we began to become much more interested in the book and the translation of the book, which was written largely in Yiddish, and trying to see what we could do to maintain the society. So we had 10-year anniversary reunions, one in 1999 and one in 2009. And 5 or 6 years ago, we decided that it was very important for us to think about what we could do to commemorate the centennial of this of the pogrom that occurred in Felstein. And we began talking about it with a number of people, including like the YIVO Institute and the Museum of Jewish Heritage and other significant Jewish cultural organizations in the city. And slowly but surely came up with the picture of that possibility as something that really the Felstein Society was pretty much the only functional, or one of the main functional organizations of its kind that was left, and it was really going to be up to us to not only shine some light on the events that happened in Felstein, but really to look beyond that and look at the events that occurred throughout Eastern Europe at that time. And, again, in the Ukraine, in Belarus, Poland, Lithuania, you know, it was just a very wide range of geographical area where these things took place.
Yeah, it was called the Pale of Settlement, I guess, right?
Yes, that was called the Pale of Settlement until, I think, until 1912, something like that.
1917, it was a provisional government.
1917, yeah. Okay, that's when it was, yes. So this is pretty much where we came, and we then began to put together a program that we thought was going to be meaningful. And we've been working on it now steadily for about 2 years. And we're looking forward to having our event on April 14th of 2019 at the Center for Jewish History in Manhattan, right off Union Square. And it's a very wonderful place. It's a beautiful building that houses the Center for Jewish History itself, as well as the YIVO Institute. And there's a cultural center. It's a really wonderful repository of valuable information, documents from the old world, documents from the United States that people brought over. It has an enormous archive, and it has been a great source of support and a tremendous resource to us going forward and trying to put this event together.
It sounds like it's going to be a incredible event, and you're connecting up with people all around the world pretty much to commemorate it as well. And to remember, this is a story that kind of became almost cliched, you know, after Fiddler on the Roof. You know, people kind of knew there were these pogroms back, ancient history, right? But it's important to not just consign these things to the dustbin of history, because it's important to remember history can repeat itself. And, you know, we may be, for all we know, on the cusp of repeating terrible mistakes of history ourselves. So it's a very good thing to be commemorating these events as you're doing now. So before we go on, I just wanted to ask you for some clarification. It's a term that you mentioned, what is that word?
Landsmannschaften.
Right, yeah. What does that mean?
Landsmannschaft is basically neighbors.
Oh.
A landsman is a neighbor, or somebody who comes from your town or from your neighborhood or from your shtetl in that case. Uh-huh. So the Landsmannschaften organizations were groups of people who gathered primarily around the towns that their families came from.
Okay, all right. So let's go back then to the commemorations are going to be taking place in April.
Yes, in Manhattan, yes.
Okay. So you've been planning this. You said actually you started thinking about this 6 years ago, but plans have actually been going on for the past 2 years. And so you've got the location set and you've got the date set and you're planning the events as well. But you've had something, you recently put out this press release. So a really interesting and exciting development has happened in Ukraine. So tell us about the connection there and the actual site of this town, which no longer exists, right? Felshtin no longer exists.
Well, it's fascinating because we don't really know how it happened. So we're kind of doing our own private detective work, trying to have exactly how this came to pass. We suspect that one of our members, one of our Felsteiners, who actually was born in Felstein and who grew up in Felstein and whose family survived, even though they were Jewish, because they passed for Catholic. This lady, her name is Paulina Lerner, went back to visit Felstein this past spring. And I believe it's as a result of her visit to Felstein that the local Catholic priest got involved. And so I think that she happened to, when she was there, meet with the principal of the school, a fellow by the name of Yuri Fedorov. And they talked about what kind of sustained activities there could be that would bring the history, the full history of the town, to light for the school children. And they talked about the possibility of establishing a museum-type display in one of the corridors of the school where they have glass enclosed display cases. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do a visual depiction of what the town was like 100 years ago?
Wow.
And talk about the Jews and talk about how things came to pass. Now, they had that discussion. I believe that that discussion spilled over to the Catholic clergy.
Oh.
And then we got this wonderful letter from Father Peter, who said to us that we're going to have a memorial on the date of the pogrom, where we pledged to have 600 people with candles lit in the town.
Oh, wow.
And we think that's a very powerful thing, and it's a wonderful message for the town to send and for the church to become involved in, and for us to be able to feel that our ancestors will be remembered in that way.
Yes.
On that day. So it's a really wonderful thing, and we're hoping to be able to work with other priests in the local area and maybe even, you know, get it to spread a little bit. You know, for instance, Khmelnytsky, which is only about 12 or 15 miles away, might be, you know, another town where we could attempt to reach out to the local clergy and see if they wouldn't participate. Khmelnytsky itself has a synagogue that we're establishing communications with, but we're hoping that the activity of Father Peter will spread to other communities
that suffered
similarly in those days.
Oh, yeah. What a great gesture of reconciliation. And
yes,
maybe we can
think so.
Yeah, maybe can we heal the wounds of the past and move forward, as you know, I think people hoped over the centuries. So what is the name of this church?
It's St. Wojciech Parish.
Okay. And it's Roman Catholic?
Yes. And Father Peter is also inviting the Orthodox, the Eastern Orthodox clergy to participate as well.
Wow.
So it's not only going to be Catholic.
That's amazing.
And, you know, and of course, we're hoping that we're going to be able to get the synagogue and Khmelnytsky involved. And we'll see what happens.
I've been speaking with Alan Bernstein, president of the Felshtin Society in New York. Next week, in part two of this interview, Alan will share more details about the Society's phenomenal connection with a school and a Catholic church in Ukraine, eager to help shed light on their town's lost Jewish heritage. Meanwhile, for more information about the Felshtin Society and the history of the Jewish shtetl, Felshtin, visit their website, www.felshtin.org, F-E-L-S-H-T-I-N, www.felshtin.org. So until next time, shalom. Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more about their work, visit their website and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage are available at their website, ukrainianjewishencounter.org, as well as at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Слухайте радіопередачу «Наш голос» радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Радіо Міжнародному, говорить Павліна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, brought to you by PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Павліна. Interlake Polka Kings from the Interlake region of Manitoba. That was the Hilltop Waltz. You've been listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you via PCJ Radio International. In between broadcasts, please visit our website at www.nashholos.com. You'll find transcripts and audio files of interviews and features such as Ukrainian Jewish Heritage and Knishka Corner. As well, you'll find reviews, information about the show, and podcast links to the Vancouver and Nanaimo editions of the program. There's a link as well to our Patreon site there, and you'll find playlists and proverbs, as well as other extra features for patrons and donors there. I do hope you'll engage with me there and support the show by following our page or becoming a patron. Incidentally, you can also support the show at no cost to you through the Amazon links found at the Nash Holos website, and that's a perfect way to do your Christmas shopping. Again, our website is www.nashholos.com. I love to hear from you, so please send me your suggestions, dedications, and requests. Your comments are always welcome. Nežalmi vžeskinčila našu programu, porana proštatisja našteoden teždein, po vše často domu vyskazate do pobačenja. Ale pere tem, ja hoću zalešati vas takimi slovami mudrosti. Той легше хліб здобуває, хто фах якийсь має. And our proverb of the week translates as, he who knows some sort of trade earns his bread more easily. And with that, we've come to the end of our program, so we have one last toe tapper, maybe two for you, and that'll be by Sluhai from Winnipeg with a traditional Ukrainian folk song that you can really dance to, Oy Chorina, Yesi Chorina. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio International, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobachenia.
Ой, чорна я, це чорна, ой, чорна я, циганка. Щем се полюбила, щем се полюбила, чорнявого Іванка. Щем се полюбила, щем се полюбила, чорнявого Іванка. Ой, Томсу полюбила, Іванка так Іванка. Високий та стрункий, високий та стрункий, сорочка вишиванка. Високий та стрункий, високий та стрункий, сорочка вишиванка. Я люблю дивитися, як ти йдеш по воду. Люблю дивитися, люблю дивитися, як ти йдеш по воду. Їха-їха поїзд, малом не заридала. Іванкові призналась, Іванкові призналась, що його покохала. Іванкові призналась, Іванкові признала, що нього покохала. Кохання не залишу, я більше не поїду, я більше не поїду, кохання не залишу. На горі два дубочки, обидва зелененькі, ми такі паровані, ми такі паровані, обоє чорновенькі, ми такі.